In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, as our blessed Savior himself said on the occasion of his first visit home to Nazareth when he preached in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, this scripture is fulfilled in your midst. For that is indeed the beautiful grace that is granted in a particular way on the occasion of children being confirmed. Our blessed Savior is described as being baptized. It was the sacramental, not a sacrament, of the Old Testament final prophet, St. John the Baptist. And our Lord submitted to that, he who is the sinless Lamb, who came to take away our sins in order to give us a good example. I thought that I would speak a word to you today about our custom here. Have you ever thought about it or even asked about it? Why is it that we confirm our children at St. Hugh so very young, whereas in other chapels or other groups, we'll wait until adolescence? I thought I would tell you the story of that. You know that historically, until about the 12th century, in the Eastern Rites, it's still observed today, but in the West we have a different sequence now, but the babies were all baptized on Holy Saturday. St. Francis of Assisi, for example, he was baptized on Holy Saturday, March 28th, 1181, they think. And his proud parents brought him to the font, and the bishop baptized him. And after he baptized him, then he confirmed him. And then, as they do in the Greek church, at Holy Communion time, they made their first communion, and he put his finger into the precious blood and into the mouth of the baby. Later on, our customs in the West diverged from that. The custom is now a little bit different, but there is still that idea of the Holy Ghost doing his work to prepare the way for God the Son into our heart, that first the work of baptism should be perfected, that's what confirmation is, and then may our Lord be devoutly received by the little ones on their first Holy Communion Day. In the Gospel today, he appears as a visible dove coming over our Lord. He had no need, our Lord didn't, of receiving sacraments. He is the source of all sanctity. But he symbolically receives them, as I say, to give us the example. But also, for example, when he was baptized in the Jordan, our Lord imparted to the element of water the power of washing away original sin from our souls. Usually today, even amongst our traditional Catholics, the custom is to wait until children are adolescents or close to adolescence, maybe 11, 12 years old, something like that, 10, before they are confirmed, and sometimes people are surprised that these little ones are receiving their confirmation already. Why is that? Well, let me say a word first of all about our modern mentality. You should be aware of it because you live in the midst of it always. Today, and for centuries, really since the Renaissance, for centuries, the focus has been on man rather than on God. What man can do rather than what Almighty God can do. You know, the world today, if you're blessed, you don't know this, but the world today is celebrating something called Earth Day, in which they're going to be worrying about the climate and climate control and carbon monoxide, and I think maybe picking up things from plastic bottles from the ground. Well, the idea behind all of that is very simple. All this talk about global warming, and we're causing global warming. The idea is that man's at the center. He caused it. He can clean it up and stop it. That everything is in man's gift and in man's power. Guess what? That's not true. That's not from a scientific point of view, but from a spiritual point of view, because true science and true religion never do contradict each other. We're not in control. We're barely in control of our own consciences and of our own immortal souls and of our own private lives. We're not in control of this world of ours. It is Almighty God who is in control, and Jesus Christ, the eternal wisdom of the Father, he is our King. So look at the sacrament of baptism, how very often baptism is either not given or it is delayed for a long time with that idea. Well, we'll let the children decide when they're old enough to make up their own mind about the matter of religion, any more than you would do that in the matter of visiting the dentist or visiting the doctor when they were in need of those services. Or indeed, when it comes to eating or going to school or anything else, no, they don't decide. You do as parents. You carry out your duty. But now the idea is that one enters into the community, and that's something that can be delayed. It's not a matter of original sin being washed away and being incorporated into Jesus Christ, who is our all, if we are to have life, I mean eternal life. It's something else quite different. Beginning, probably about 110 years ago, confirmation slowly came to be seen as a kind of a graduation ceremony for, and you see it still today in the Novus Ordo. For example, like here in Milwaukee, if you have a Novus Ordo child and family, well, if he is going to be confirmed, it will be in his high school years, and he has to do community service, like a prisoner almost, in order to merit this confirmation. It's very similar as well to the Jewish concept of bar mitzvah. The Jews learn a certain portion of the scripture to chant it in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Or perhaps there will be for the Catholics a long test and a very complicated one, which they must pass if they are going to receive confirmation. All of that, again, you see, puts the emphasis on man and man's work rather than on God's promise and his grace. You see, during the reign of Pope Pius X, the Holy Father was indeed the patron saint of the Eucharist, desired to see the little ones brought to Christ in their innocence, because a custom had grown up in the West that children didn't make their communion until they were 10, 11, 12 years old, and sometimes older. And the Holy Father said, all they have to do is to be brought to Christ in their innocence, to know the difference between regular bread and the Blessed Sacrament, and to be able to be reverent, just know their basics, then they may indeed make their first Holy Communion. The idea is to bring children to Christ and bring Christ to the children. And it's understood that, of course, you parents will continue, and we priests, to teach catechism to the children all the way through, one way and another. Now, the life of this sainted pontiff was cut short by World War I. He did his very best to stop it, because the Holy Father saw what a waste it was and all of the evil that would come in its wake. How true that was. He died of a broken heart the summer that World War I began, and there was never any opportunity for him to fix the other dates of the sacraments accordingly. However, his successor, Benedict XV, decreed in the new canon law that was imposed on the Church that, other things being equal, children should make their first Holy Communion after they've been confirmed, if possible. Now, in the United States, that was never possible because of the big parishes, the big schools, and the paucity of bishops. Usually a bishop could visit just every few years to confirm these large classes of children. And so the date for confirmation remained still more or less the same. It was never adjusted. But canon law says, if possible, let these children be prepared by the Holy Ghost in order to make a truly devout and worthy first Holy Communion. So again, the modernists put man right in the center, and they reduce sacraments to the choice of man and a kind of a symbol and nothing more. What man does for them is all important. It is what we think, what we study, the work we do, and indeed the choices that we make. This attitude then affected confirmation and the age at which it was received. It became, confirmation did, for those who had to pass a test or do this or that extra activity, it became a kind of a stamp of approval, an academic mark for the child's knowledge, rather than the mark, the character, or the seal of the Holy Ghost. What sacraments give a character? Confirmation, baptism, and holy orders. And the character of these sacraments conform the soul more closely to the image of God's dearly beloved Son. At confirmation today, it is the voice of the Father to say, you are, to these children who are being confirmed, you are my beloved Son. In you, I am well pleased. That's the reality, the stunning truth of this sacrament. They say that the very early Christians, when they were baptized, time of St. Paul, when they were baptized, they, as they emerged from the waters, they would cry out, Abba. That would be their first prayer, which is Aramaic for Father, in a very affectionate and reverent meaning. Father. Why? Because by baptism we're conformed to Jesus Christ. And in that sense, we are all sons of God the Father. Not sons and daughters, but sons, because we share in the divine sonship. But then along came that emphasis on man. Then along came the emphasis on ecumenism. We have to be like the Lutherans, or we have to be like the Jews. And all that emphasis upon man's choice. And somehow this sacrament got shifted away. I think it is of paramount importance that we remember that we look to Almighty God's grace rather than too much to man's own cooperation with it. The Church wants to give to these children, just as soon as possible, this wonderful sacrament and all of the strength that comes with it. The world, after all, is envious of one thing these children possess. And what do you think that is? It is their innocence. Their innocence. They are the lambs, the newborn lambs. The world desires to slay that innocence. It does its very best by means of education, by means of entertainment, by means of popular immorality, to steal it from them at so young an age. Doesn't it make sense then that we ourselves should be not only vigilant, but should arm and fortify these children against all of these forces which desire only their downfall? Confirmation, after all, with its seven gifts, bestows the grace of fortitude, so that they may indeed persevere in our holy faith. Saint Joseph, let me conclude by saying a word of him. Saint Joseph was prepared beautifully by our Lord and by the Blessed Mother for the great work that was his. Mary of Agreda says in the Mystical City of God that at the age of 3, he was sanctified of original sin while still in the womb. And then our Lord bestowed upon him immense graces so that he could understand profoundly everything that he learned after he was born, everything that he was taught. And in addition, his own personality, his own character was kind and loving and sincere. And indeed, when it came to holy purity, angelic. When our Blessed Mother learned that it was Saint Joseph who was chosen to be her spouse and the legal father of her son, she added her own prayers to the great work of the Holy Ghost. We say that Saint Joseph is the masterpiece of Mary's intercession. That's why you want to love Saint Joseph and pray to him. You're no masterpiece. None of us are. But if only we would pray to Saint Joseph to love Our Lady more, what a difference that would make. This feast of Saint Joseph has to have that personal side to it and that assistance from heaven above. Saint Joseph, by means of God's direct grace, received what the children today are going to receive in the sacrament of confirmation. That is to say, the gifts of the Holy Ghost, the increase of sanctifying grace. There's a mystic, I don't know if you've ever come across her. Her name is Blessed Angela of Foligno. On one occasion, when she was in a state of very deep prayer, she remarked afterwards that she heard God, as the bystanders at the Jordan heard God the Father. These words, when I read them last week, struck me, and it seems to be that we should hear them of our children today. Child of divine wisdom, temple of the beloved, beloved of the beloved, child of peace, in you rests the entire Trinity. Indeed, the complete truth rests in you, so that you hold me and I hold you. Behold, that's the scene that you should see today when these little ones come to receive the Holy Ghost and the perfect image of Jesus Christ in their souls. The heavens are opened. Listen to the voice of the Father. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.